Hi there, this is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. Well, again, good morning. And it is a good morning for multiple reasons, not least of which is the fact that it is not so ridiculously hot, as I mentioned at the outset. But more importantly, for the past 5 years, I have used the phrase, walk through the red doors off of Moreland. And my welcomes and my benedictions and my sermons, walk through the red doors off Moreland. And because of you all, I can no longer use that phrase because it is now factually inaccurate. And that is a beautiful thing, amen? Thank you to those humans who showed up yesterday and transformed our hashtag red into rainbow. Thank you. And to the rest of you who showed up to do the less public work of our church work day yesterday, I appreciate you. Thank you. You are loved. Well, if you're guests with us this morning, we are grateful that you chose to be with us today. It is a privilege to be with you. And if you are a guest with us, then it may be helpful for you to know that here at Eastside, we are in something of an extended preaching journey through what is named the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you're not familiar, the lectionary, as we abbreviate it, is a 3-year cycle of readings taken from the scriptures. There are normally 2 readings from the Old Testament and 2 readings taken from the New Testament. And at the front end of our New Testaments, we encounter these 4 books, these 4 renderings of the life, the ministry, the teachings of Jesus. We call them the Gospels, and the Gospel simply means the good news. And it is a phrase that we need to hang on to, even though others have tried to appropriate that word. Well, this morning we find ourselves over halfway through this 3-year journey, and the lectionary has us spending a substantial amount of time in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke has his own unique way of describing the ministry of the Christ, and Luke really focuses in on Jesus' love of those people who would have been on the margins, on the edge of society. Luke likes to describe those who maybe others didn't see. He renders a Christ who was not blind to our blind spots. And we see this very poignantly in our reading this morning. Jesus, he not only sees what everyone else had become blind to, but he, without even being asked, he does something about it. Bless you. So friends, without further introduction, as you're able, if you would please stand with me for the reading of our gospel taken from Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. Where Luke writes, "Now he, Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, 'Woman, you are set free. You are set free from your ailment.' When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day.' But the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to get water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?' When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing." Friends, the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this morning, in this time, in this space, may you make yourself known among us. I ask, God, that as I preach these words that I have prepared for this time, that you may speak through them, and that you would speak as necessary in spite of them. And as I preach, God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts collectively would indeed be found pleasing, good, and acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our redeemer, God, our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. To what have we become comfortably blind? To what have we become comfortably blind? It's human psychology. Our brains just come to shut certain things off. We stop seeing. I had this annoying smudge on the inside of the back window of my car, and I kid you not, it lived there for over half of a year. There are certain moments in the mornings when I would notice it, and it would make me really angry, and I would say to myself, I have to clean that smudge off the back window of my car, and then I would pull into the parking lot at church, I would open up the back door, grab my tote bag, walk into the office, and go about my day. And then the next morning, I would have this Groundhog Day experience over again. Friends, we go blind to realities, and yes, sometimes human beings, and we do it way too quickly. Jesus, the most remarkable human, he had this remarkable capacity. He had this divine capacity to, unlike me, see people that others were not seeing. This is a fascinating text for a whole host of reasons, and I was actually talking to Pastor Abby in the office about 30 minutes ago about it. But in this text, we encounter Jesus, the Christ, and he's not on a mountainside in the open air preaching as we find him in other passages. No, in this text, Jesus is in the establishment. Luke, he is careful to tell us that he is teaching as a rabbi in the synagogue. Now, most New Testament scholars will tell you that the whole concept of synagogue it's a little bit complicated. We don't entirely know everything about what these places were. But what we do know was that as Jews and as Judaism expanded outside of Jerusalem, outside of the Second Temple where it was located, they needed a place to gather, to fellowship, to worship. And it wasn't realistic for all commonplace Jews to be able to travel all the way to Jerusalem for worship every Saturday. So essentially, first century Judaism, they created these sort of localized places where they could gather, where they could be Jewish together, synagogues. And Luke tells us that Jesus was at one of these local gatherings named synagogues on Saturday, the Jewish version of Sunday. And apparently synagogues were open and friendly to guest lecturers. Because as Luke renders his gospel account of Jesus' life, he has Jesus at the front. He's at the beginning of some kind of a teaching he's about to offer. So imagine this, if you will. As we discover later in the text, there is some kind of an organizer of the synagogue. And Luke does not name him a rabbi. He does not name him a priest. He just says, there's this person who organizes the gathering. We don't know much more about this person. What we do know is that whomever was running the place, they were open to allowing this rabbi, Jesus, to step up and offer a lesson to the gathered body. They were willing to let Jesus teach, to maybe preach, whatever rabbis did on the Sabbath with those people who had gathered together to be Jewish together. And obviously, I have no access to what Jesus' preparation process was when he was setting out to give a talk. But Luke tells us that just as he stands up, a woman walks into the back of the room. Now, Luke is likely the most socially progressive of the four gospel writers. It's not a hugely debated idea. And Luke works to describe a Christ who humanizes those who were so often dehumanized in his age, in his day, and in his culture. But even that being said, this story's special. because he's guest preaching in this Jewish space on the Sabbath when an invisible reality slowly makes her way into the room just as he's getting started. At the front end of his message, Jesus, the communicator of communicators, the preacher of preachers. But even the best of communicators have their moments. And Jesus, he stands up at the lectern or whatever he preached from, begins his talk, and he watches this woman awkwardly, slowly enter the room. And he could have just moved on with his lesson as he had prepared it. That thought might have even crossed his mind. Even as the Messiah, he had a role. He needed to make the biggest amount of influence he could. He was being allowed to be the guest preacher on the Sabbath at the synagogue with all these gathered people. He did have a job to do. But this lady awkwardly makes her way into the back of the room. And it occurs to Jesus in that moment that the invisible needed to be made visible. That which we have gone blind to needed to be made optically aware. Collectively, we needed to wake up to that which was becoming normatively asleep. Friends, this is a story about seeing. And it begs the question, to what have we gone blind? Collectively? As individuals? You see, Jesus didn't wait until the end of his sermon to get to the point. He literally led with the point. He walked that woman from the back of the room up to the front. In his actions, he said, right here, this is gospel. This is it. 30-year-old able-bodied man up in front with all the power in the room. Possibly older woman struggling with a crippling ailment in the back of the room. And what does the guest preacher do? He calls her out in front of the entire room. And because he doesn't know her name, he simply says, woman, and he invites her to come to the front. And Luke tells us he touches her, which I realize comes with its own set of issues and triggers, but I kind of read him laying his hands on her as him giving her a hug. Because that woman, she may not have experienced human touch in 18 years because of her ailment. She would have been deemed unclean in that religious system, in that culture. Can you imagine not being touched by another human being for 18 years? Now, the more I reflected on the story, I realized you can kind of read it in a few different ways. Maybe she was elderly and this ailment came upon her later in her life. Maybe she began to struggle with this in her 40s or her 50s. Maybe she's 68 or 70. Or maybe she was born with this. Maybe she's never known anything different. Maybe she had a genetic disorder from birth, and she has literally been considered unclean by her family and her community for the entirety of her life. And maybe Jesus healing her and then laying his hands on her, maybe that was the first human touch she had experienced since she was a child. He'd already healed her. In the Gospels, Jesus doesn't have to touch humans to heal them. He can heal people from afar. He simply speaks the words. So in my reading, maybe the laying on of hands was more of a spiritual thing. It was more of a humanizing thing. Friends, I think this story gets right to the heart of everything. She was coming to synagogue. She wanted to be around people. But were the people that she was trying to be around receiving her? Friends, we need synagogue. We need teaching. We need good instruction. We need synagogue. We need healing. We need synagogue, people gathered with one another to engage in ancient rituals, to receive a word from God. We need synagogue because at synagogue there is at least a chance for human connection. Our world is starving for wisdom. It's starving for wise teachers. We're starving for healing. We're starving for community, for human connection. The isolation that has been created in our modern world by the internet, by social media, by our transient society, we have become blind to our real needs as human beings for one another. Many of us are hungry and we aren't even sure what we're hungry for. This lady was invisible to her own community. And their invisibility towards her was starving them of their own humanity. The organizer of the synagogue, whatever he was in actual title, he wasn't mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. I always read this story as it being about the Sabbath. It's not about the Sabbath. The organizer was mad because he was acting out because he was embarrassed. He was mad because that woman had been walking into that synagogue for years upon years, and Jesus was the first one to address it, to acknowledge her, and to do something about it. Jesus saw her. He made the invisible visible, and that was embarrassing to the leader of the community. The guest preacher called out something that he didn't see, or that he and the rest of the group had chosen not to see, and it was embarrassing. And the leader, he allowed that embarrassment to create shame. Shame instead of repentance. And then he goes into deflect mode, and he attempts to change the narrative, and he attempts to use religion to shame Jesus, and the Christ will have none of it. He asked the organizer, "Do you water your animals on the Sabbath?" Which is basically his way of saying, "Do you eat and drink water on the Sabbath? Do you lift a hand? Do you breathe? Are you alive on the Sabbath? Because if you're not alive on the Sabbath, then good grief." Jesus has just helped a woman who has needed a walker for 18 years, and that's your response? Shut the front door. If religion gets in the way of helping people, what are we doing? Sabbath was made for humans, not the other way around. And don't hear me wrong. When we don't rest, God absolutely shakes God's head at us because it is not a shame situation. It is you are biologically human, and I know for a fact that you do need to rest. At the same time, you need to drink water, and you need to feed your family. And if your pet needs to use the restroom, you should take it outside. That community, including its leader, had become blind to that woman's need. And Jesus, the guest rabbi, at the very beginning of his sermon, watched her walk in, saw her, invisible as she had become, called her out publicly in front of the group, and then after healing her from afar, invites her to come to the front so maybe he can give her a hug. You see, I don't think Jesus was trying to shame anyone in this text. But it can be the case that sometimes other human beings' awesomeness can have a negative impact on our own self-esteem. Sometimes the way we cope with that is by trying to throw shade on the Christ, which is just never a good idea. Sometimes a more proper response is simply, "Shoot, I missed that, and they got it right." And that's inspirational, if we let it be. We're human. We all have dumb moments. We all go blind to things. We all miss some stuff. Again, I always thought the point of this text was that Jesus was challenging religious norms by healing on the Sabbath. My reading today has nothing to do with that. Jesus was being a remarkable human, and he immediately switched where he was headed as that woman walked in the back of the room, and he was willing to do that. He had the ability to see past everyone to see that one person off in the corner. That's beautiful. For Pete's sake, she was showing up at church late, and he wasn't mad about it. Now, she had a pretty good reason to be late, but still. But him doing what he believed to be the right thing in the moment caused the leader of that synagogue to really resent him and to use the very religion they had all gathered together to observe as a weapon against the great healer. And yeah, sure, there are six other days when she could have been healed, but mobility was clearly an issue for her. And she knows that the largest group gathers on Saturday, and maybe she wanted to worship. She didn't ask to be healed, Jesus just did it. Friends, for some of you just getting here, just showing up is all that you can do. And that's okay. We're glad you're here. May we see one another. May the invisible become visible in this community with this group in this gathering. And as we gather to become better human beings together in community, may our progress in the work of sanctification never cause somebody else shame in their life. My hope is that we would be an inspiration to one another as we all seek to be who it is God is calling us to be. You did a good. I want to do a good. Why didn't I think of it? But now I thought of it because you showed it to me. May the invisible become visible. May we see one another, really see one another. And as we see one another, may we love one another. And may we be the inspiration for the transformation of the world. Sounds like a community worth being a part of. Amen. It's all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer. Amen. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.